Welcome to our teaching for today. The portion for this week is Amor and means, say. This portion begins with laws for the Kohanim, priests, and concludes by talking about God's feasts. When we are fulfilling our faith, we mix something spiritual in our life, a part of us that is unseen. We may look like any other person, but we are different because we act from the good values we have learned from God. Those around us may not know our every motivation. Only we know if we properly measure up to what is right and good. Deuteronomy 6:17-18 NKJV says, "You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies, and his statutes which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good." Rabbi Shaul seems to refer to Deuteronomy 6:17-18 in the New Testament portion where it says we are to be diligent to know God's commandments. The New Testament is based on the Old Testament. 2 Timothy 2:15 NKJV says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Strong's Dictionary says the word ashamed can mean free from blame, namely irreprehensible. We need to diligent so that we are free from blame. Every person is responsible to know God's commandments and to do what is right. That is why everyone in ancient Jewish societies learned how to read. Archaeologists have even found ancient letters written by Jewish women. Everyone learned to read so they could learn and keep God's commandments. Also, it is important to understand that when Shaul wrote Timothy, there was no New Testament. Christians often apply this to the New Testament, but Shaul is telling Timothy to be diligent to learn the Old Testament commands. They are truths for life and therefore are right and good. The word dividing in 2 Timothy can be understood as in the word expound according to Strong's Dictionary, namely we are to rightly explain God's commands. We should not only know God's commandments, but to be able to explain how to use them. For example, if we find something that is valuable, we should try to find the owner. Often, the police will hold something of value and if not claimed, they will give it back to the finder. This is an application of Deuteronomy 22:1-2 NKJV which says, "You shall not see your brother's ox or his sheep going astray, and hide yourself from them, you shall certainly bring them back to your brother. And if your brother is not near you, or if you do not know him, then you shall bring it to your own house, and it shall remain with you until your brother seeks it." Some incorrectly teach that the word dividing has to with dividing the words in the ancient manuscripts. This was not true for Hebrew. The Hebrew words are divided and there are paragraph spacings between the sentences. Just look at a picture of the Dead Sea Scrolls online. Even in the ancient Greek there are sentence and paragraph markers. Shaul is saying that it is our responsibility to know and keep God's commandments so when we stand before God, we will have kept God's commandments. We are responsible to know them and keep them. Just as our godly values are unseen, believers in the Messiah also have the gift of the Holy Spirit that is at work in us. We should understand that we are to use God's messianic gift and know how to explain how it is used. See our Divine Healing class for lots of examples and information on the gift of the Holy Spirit. Some people oppose God's good gift, but they should not. Luke 11:11-13 NKJV says, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" God is not going to give you a stone, a serpent, or a scorpion. He is not going to give you something fake, something that will hurt you, or something disappointing. As a young boy, I remember thinking that a bowl of plastic fruit looked pretty good to eat, but after I picked up the apple on top, I realized it was fake. God is the creator of the universe. He can give us good things. God has no reason to try to fool us. The Holy Spirit is good, and Yeshua said it is our helper. John 14:15-17 NKJV says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, For he dwells with you and will be in you. God gave us his commandments that are right and good and help us in life. The Holy Spirit is also good and will help us in life. Have spiritual strength and endurance and be connected to God. Proverbs 14:26 NKJV says, In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. We are to fear God, to have a deep respect for God. That respect should lead us to have a deep trust in God. Those who are God's children are those who respect and trust in God. God's children will have refuge, they will have hope. Rabbi Shaul tells us to be strong. 1 Corinthians 16:13 NKJV says, Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. What is the foundation of our faith? It is the good things that God has given us to help us, namely His commandments and the Holy Spirit. Some people say all we need to do is to have faith. What are we supposed to have faith in? What are we supposed to trust in? James 2:17 18 NKJV says, Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. We are not trusting in a philosophy but in a real and true eternal God who gave us his commandments and the Holy Spirit. We are connected to God by following him and doing what he says. James 4:8 NKJV says, Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. How do we draw near to God? We stop sinning and being double-minded. Double-minded means that in some instances we are committed to doing what is right and in other ways we are not. When we are double-minded, we are not committed to God. We learn and apply God's good commandments so we can do what is right and avoid the lures of doing what is wrong and evil. People are lured into disobeying God like a fish. Are you better than a fish? The fisherman puts bait on a hook in order to lure a fish. 2 Timothy 2:24-26 NKJV says, And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Why do those who live in sin oppose themselves? It is because they are doing what is wrong and bringing evil into their lives. They are snared like a fish and are captive to the devil and his rebellion against God. There is a devil who rebelled against God and the devil wants you to rebel and go to the lake of fire with him. Isaiah 14:12-13 NKJV says, How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning! How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations! For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. The devil wanted to be God and do things his way. Revelation 20:10 says, The devil, who deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Those who do not take control of their life are deceived. They also rebel against God will also end up in the lake of fire. Revelation 21:8 NKJV says, But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. If you are not trusting in God and keeping his commandments, then you are not believing in God, you are unbelieving. We do not have to stay trapped. Through God we can escape the traps and pressures of sin that lures us. We get to a certain age physically and stop growing, but we always need to keep growing spiritually. Perhaps, we are not aware of our need to keep growing spiritually, but we are always at risk of being pushed or pulled in life's choices to either do what is right or wrong. Sometimes others deceive us, and we are pressured into committing sin. Perhaps we are pressured to conform. At other times we are enticed to sin. We have talked about being lured. Yaakov also talks about this. James 1:14-15 NKJV says, But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. People are lured by sin and given to sin. Why does it bring death? It is because we have decided to not trust in God and rebel against God. It brings eternal consequences. We must all appear before Yeshua. 2 Corinthians 5:10-11 NKJV says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." The word seat is the Greek word bema, which is where the Torah is read in synagogues. The reason people do not know this is because they are following a Greek theology instead of understanding our Hebraic roots. The Torah is the first five books of the Bible and contains God's commandments. We will be judged by God's commandments in the Torah. Rabbi Shaul tells us he is sharing this so we do not have to experience the terror of God at the time of judgment. I am not the only one who talks about the lake of fire. Shaul refers to this too when he talks about the terror of the Lord, or when he says that those who live in sin will not be in the future kingdom. Just like Shaul, I encourage you for your good. Keep growing spiritually. Do not forget to find encouragement to stand strong. Do not waste your time with false teachers who will lead you to the lake of fire. That is where they are going. Stand your ground strong. You can do it. Form good habits. Keep learning and applying what you learn. No matter what, stay true to the truths of God's word. That is what you know to be true. Have spiritual strength and endurance, and be connected to God through His commandments and the Holy Spirit. Learn and apply God's good commandments so we can do what is right and avoid the lures of doing what is wrong and evil. Keep growing spiritually, study the Bible and God's commandments, and find ways to be encouraged spiritually. God and you make a majority. You can do it with God's help. Say no to sin. Just walk away. Philippians 4:13 NKJV says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Here is more to consider. How do you identify yourself in all you do? Some people are quick to give us information about who they are and what they believe. They often are living in their own little world with their own philosophies and ideas. They aren't looking for any common ground to begin a conversation. They ignorantly plod ahead without concern for the feelings of others. I remember this one person I met. The first words out of his mouth were about people who live in little homes. I imagined he was a person filled with prejudice about others. Perhaps that is not the kind of person he was. The direction of his conversation set the tone. How can we communicate our faith? The Bible says we are to be ready to let others know what we believe if the opportunity arises. It is a good idea to be able to do that. Perhaps you will be able to help someone believe in the Messiah Yeshua and God. I will sometimes ask God what to say at times, and wow, do I get some amazing responses. Just being a kind, good, and respectful person should be at the forefront of relating to others. This one time, I was just walking around trying to talk to people about God. I asked this person what God told me to say, and it opened up a dialogue between us. I was really surprised. Sometimes I think that God just uses the words He gives me when I talk to someone. I don't see much happening, but that is between the other person and God. Perhaps God uses what I said to help the other person in some way. We are to be a good, kind, and gentle people who listen to the Holy Spirit. We most importantly are to identify with who we are supposed to be and how we are supposed to act. Sometimes we can be more concerned with making our own points or with what we are doing rather than making the point to do what is right and keep God's commandments. Proverbs 15:4 NKJV says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." Someone who helps others to live right in what they say and do gives life. Someone who has an evil, distorted view of life in speech and actions destroys life. Don't you want to be the kind of person that brings good into this world? Also, the Messiah Yeshua gives the Holy Spirit to those who believe on Him. First of all, we are to follow God's commandments, and then we also have a helper for life. God has always been our helper. Deuteronomy 33:26 says God helps us. But the giving of the Holy Spirit is a special act of God for the believers in the Messiah. Yeshua said, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth," John 15:26 NKJV. Let's look at some of the things that God's special gift does. Romans mentions some of the gifts, the charisma, associated with the Holy Spirit. Romans 12:6-8 NKJV says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching, he who exhorts, in exhortation, he who gives, with liberality, he who leads, with diligence, he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." Isn't that something? These are things that God empowers through the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians mentions other gifts also called evidences or manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Notice that it says these evidences are given to each of us who believe in the Messiah and not just a selected few. This is then a list just like in Romans. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11 NKJV says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." Notice that each believer is to receive these gifts. They are God-empowered gifts and not personally developed gifts. God's favor has given us special wisdom, knowledge, teaching, prophecy, and so much more. This does not sound like the Holy Spirit is only our conscience as some believe. Don't be fooled by those who downplay the work of the Holy Spirit. See our teachings on praying for others for examples of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is important. If you want some instruction, go to our Divine Healing Prayer class. We explain the gifts of the Holy Spirit and give examples in the class. The key to a relationship with God and God's power in our lives comes out of the life we lead. It is the vein and arteries that provide spiritual life. We talk about how God is life-giving and that He is a God of love. How could we expect to tap into what God wants for us if we are not willing to follow His commandments and seek those things He wants for us like the Holy Spirit? There are some people who only believe in ritual. Then there are some Jews who don't believe in the Messiah and are following the directions of the rabbis who are just people. They follow man-made laws and ideas. Many of the things they teach are not the commandments of God, but of men. Ritual is not a bad thing and can establish the form for our meetings and activities, but most of these forms of activity are not commanded by God. They are made up. What is important? We easily understand how our blood supply gives nutrients to our bodies. Yet, why don't people understand the need for a healthy spiritual life that can sustain us spiritually? Deuteronomy 8:3 NKJV says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." This was written so that we would remember to follow the Torah. They are God's words from the Torah. Yeshua quoted this verse, so he must have thought they were true. See Luke 4:4. So why aren't people doing what the Torah teaches us? They've been talked out of the Torah by false teachers who develop a false man-made theology. Shaul prophesied in 1 Timothy 4:3 NKJV and says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." The context is about the Torah that Timothy learned from his Jewish mother. See 2 Timothy 3:14-15 and Acts 16:1. Be aware of the situation you are involved with. If you need to fight spiritually, then stand strong, pray, and rebuke the devil if you need to. 1 Corinthians 9:26-27 NKJV says, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest, when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Represent God in your day-to-day life and demonstrate the attitudes of a believer. What attitude should we have? Live a godly life, and imitate God, do what is right, don't give in to temptation, and fellowship with God during the day. Be organized in life and take care of yourself. We are created in God's image. Care about what God cares about. Proverbs 3:5-8 NKJV says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh, and strength to your bones. Learn and know truth so you know the path you are to take so you don't do evil. Learn how to apply God's commandments. The Old Testament promises us they will give us health. Some appropriate these verses from the Old Testament portion and then say the Old Testament portion is done away. How senseless is that? That is how theology works. The Bible says one thing, they say another." Galatians 5:22-26 NKJV says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Since these are the things the Holy Spirit works in us, this is how God wants us to act. If we resist these things, we are resisting the work of the Holy Spirit. As we already saw, the Holy Spirit is a very special gift in this messianic age. Here is more to talk about. In this portion, God's feasts are given. God's feasts will continue in the world to come, it says in Isaiah 66:22-23. In the middle of the feasts listed in our portion for today, there is a command to leave the corners of our fields for the poor. We should not only remember the poor at the time of our feasts but take opportunities in life to serve and help the poor. The Bible teaches us that God cares about the poor and so should we. The tabernacle or mishkan in the desert in the Hebrew is Moed Ohel, which means tent of meeting. Our translations often change the wording to tabernacle of the congregation. The tabernacle was the place to meet with God, and meet is the word Moed. In Genesis 1:14, it says that the lights in the sky were for signs and seasons. Seasons is the word Moed Dim. It means meetings. So, the reason for the lights that God created in the sky were so we could keep God's Moed Dim, meetings. Therefore, Genesis 1:14 is actually referring to keeping God's feasts. People miss this understanding because of our translations. We still need to understand these things to understand the Bible properly. The Jewish calendar is based on the sun and moon. We are to know when God's feasts are and to observe them. Leviticus 23:2 NKJV says, "The feasts of the Lord, these are my feasts." Some say they are Jewish feasts, but God said they are his feasts. God instituted his feasts at the inception of time as times to meet with him. Genesis 2:3 also talks about this. It says that God made Shabbat holy immediately after he finished creating everything. Shabbat is Friday at sunset to Saturday at sunset. The Bible says, "Evening and morning were the first day," Genesis 1:5. Shabbat is not the day of the sun God, which is Sunday. Genesis 2:3 NKJV says, "Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." God created everything that exists, and he cares about his creation. God is at work helping his people to be blessed. God does that in the way that he chooses. Our God is the creator of the universe and can do amazing and wonderful things. We may not get all our prayers answered, but God will answer some of our prayers. God saved my life from a fire. He woke me up just in time. You cannot put a value on that. Yeshua said in Mark 8:36-37 NKJV, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" The word for soul in the Greek is the word that means life. If someone has everything, but dies, it was of no matter to them. The same goes for eternal life. Why would someone give up eternal life with a good God for just some temporary things that they can't take with them? There can be things in our lives that do not belong there. Examine your life and think about sins you may be allowing or wrong attitudes you may be having. These can include decisions you have made, such as vows for or against things. Wrongly placed vows can lead to sinful behaviors. Watch out for wrongly developed attitudes. Perhaps you have decided to act in a certain way towards different behaviors or towards types of people that is not based on spiritual values. These things may be hidden to us and can be an ugly part of our life that we may not be aware of. For example, some people hate others based on color. I heard the story of one man who decided that no woman was going to run his life. That made working things out with his wife difficult. What kind of wrong concepts have you been taught? Women are also created in the image of God, and so are men. Genesis 1:26 NKJV says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image. Be pure in your thoughts, guard your mind and stop yourself from letting your mind get out of control. Use the scriptures if necessary to speak truths into your mind when you begin thinking the wrong way. Pick scriptures that counter what is wrong. We are a noble and good people who live to the glory of God. We are to actually be God's special holy people. Wouldn't it be nice if we all behaved appropriately? The Bible tells us in many ways how to do that. Shaul talks about the many different virtues we are to have based on Leviticus, where it tells us to forgive, not to hold grudges, and to love others. Leviticus 19:18 NKJV says, "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Shaul quotes the Old Testament portion in Ephesians 4:32. Shaul says in Ephesians 4:32 NKJV 2, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." It sounds close to Leviticus 19:18, doesn't it? The synagogues of Shaul's time were called schools of virtue. The Jewish rabbis taught people how to live and act towards each other. This past week, someone I know rehearsed some of their values to me. They were great virtues that we all should have. Work on your godly virtues. Shaul talks about virtues in many places. For example, in Galatians 5:22-23 NKJV it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." It says these are fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help us to do these things as we cooperate with God in these areas. These are characteristics of the Holy Spirit. We are supposed to imitate God. Kepha said in 1 Peter 1:15-16, "He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" He is quoting from the Torah portion for last week where God tells to be holy three times, see Leviticus 19:2. 20-7, and 20-26. Kepha goes on to say in 1 Peter 2:9 NKJV, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people." He quotes Exodus 19:5-6 NKJV where it says, "You shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." We will now begin our Torah study. Amor means, say. This portion begins by saying that the Kohanim, priests, were not to make themselves unclean by touching the dead unless it was a close relative. They are also not to do rituals that the pagans did, like cutting gashes in their skin. They are to be holy for God. The Kohanim are also not to marry a divorced woman, a prostitute, or a woman who is not a virgin. The daughter of a Kohanim is to be pure. The Kohanim are consecrated and anointed with oil. God's leaders are consecrated to God and are to be shown honor. Giving them honor gives honor to God. Shaul, Paul, said that leaders are to be given double honor, see 1 Timothy 5:17-18. No descendant of Aaron who has a defect should be allowed near the veil. No one who is unclean is to come near the holy things until he does what is necessary to be clean again. No outsider or servant is to eat holy food, that is for the priests. If eaten accidentally, the person is to restore what is eaten plus one-fifth. Free will offerings should have no blemish or any type of defect. God has sanctified Israel to be their God. They are to keep Shabbat, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Shavuot, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. They should not reap to the corners of their fields. The details and dates are then given for each feast. The Bible says that the lights that God created are there so we can know when we are to meet with God. Genesis 1:14 says they are for signs and moedim. Moedim means meetings. I remember asking during one of my teachings why we are to know when the Jewish months start. The ancient new moon is when the moon reappears. A smart lady immediately said that it is so we know when God's feasts are. They were to use pure oil for the menorah, and it was not to go out. They were to make bread for the tabernacle and the Kohanim were to eat it there. Those that blaspheme the name of the Lord or murder another man were to be put to death and those that cause injury were to make restitution. The portion concludes with them stoning a man who was blaspheming the Lord. This portion has laws about contact with the dead, how to keep hair, don't copy the pagans and their weird behaviors, marriage of the priests, those who are qualified to offer sacrifices, who can eat from the donations, a mikvah, which means immersion, requirement to be clean, animal sacrifices, the Lord's name and not to use it blasphemously, the Lord's feasts, leaving crops for the poor, fasting on Yom Kippur, living in booths on Sukkot, was for Israel, using clear oil for the Mishkan lamps, and restitution. We have already learned about the importance of not committing Lashon Hara from past portions of the Torah. Lashon Hara is evil speaking. Shaul talks about saying good things in Philippians 4 and Yaakov, James, talks about how the tongue can be used for good or evil. Each portion of the Torah gives us important background on things talked about in the New Testament portion. Without this background, people tend to apply the New Testament scriptures mindlessly. The New Testament portion comes from the Old Testament portion. Both Yeshua and Shaul use the Old Testament for their teachings. Should we keep God's feasts? They are God's feasts, so why wouldn't we? It amazes me that people observe man-made feasts, holidays, and celebrations, but when it comes to God's feasts, they say they are not for them. They are in essence saying to God that His appointed times, His moedim, are not important. If we are not to observe God's feasts as some say, which seems ludicrous, then why are we supposed to look forward to observing them in the new heaven and earth? Isaiah 66:22-23 NKJV, "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord." New moons celebrate the calendar year set up by God and they are used to know when to celebrate God's feasts. The Sabbath is God's weekly feast. Some laws like keeping God's feasts are easily applied, other laws can be applied appropriately, like making restitution, and others can't be done. For example, we can't enforce the death penalties from the Bible because our country defines how and when that is to be done. We should not be an evildoer in the country we live in. Our country does allow for restitution for damages, that is something the Bible tells us to do also. I have heard people say things like we cannot observe God's feasts in Jerusalem anymore so we cannot keep them. That is just ridiculous. They say these things because they do not want to do what God says. They will say that is not true, they want to do what God says, but the next sentence out of their mouth tells us where their heart is. They are resisting God and not us. Who can't rest on Shabbat? Yeshua said that we can worship God wherever we are now. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain, nor in Jerusalem, worship the Father." John 4:21 NKJV. We can keep God's feasts wherever we are. That is what early believers in Yeshua did. Also, the Old Testament portion made allowances for those who live far away from Jerusalem. People just make up excuses not to follow God. Just because they do not follow God, you do not have to follow their bad example. We should stop fighting God and try to do what He tells us to do. Drop your man-made philosophy of life with its man-made doctrine and start doing what the Bible says. The Bible tells us to help others and the poor. My niece's husband once asked me why Christians hate the poor. What a poor example Christians have been. Be a good example and do things God's way. We should do things God's way even though we may not understand why. Perhaps limiting contact with the dead could help reduce problems related to disease. We saw disease being spread a number of years back during an Ebola breakout because of customs regarding the dead. Also, perhaps it was the custom of idol worshippers in ancient times to do specific things related to idol worship with their hair. We probably should be careful not to emulate any practice associated with idol worship or any of the despicable things that unbelievers do. Unbelievers will do weird things with their hair, in how they dress, and with their body. Do not be tempted to follow their ridiculous behaviors. Should we still fast on Yom Kippur, the day of forgiveness of sins? Yes, because Yochanan, John, said we all sin and need to confess our sin in 1 John. Since he is Jewish, he probably is not only referring to our daily acts of repentance and confession, which we should be doing, but also to a general introspection and confession of sins on Yom Kippur, that he most certainly would have been thinking of. A general confession of sins may reveal other sins we need to repent of. Should we live in booths on Sukkot? This command is directed at Israel and perhaps has more to do with the Sinai covenant. Not all commands are pertinent for the Messianic believer, although we can surely participate if we so choose. Living in booths should remind us of God's care for Israel and for His care for us. For Messianic believers, Sukkot also should remind us that God does indeed care for His people and that we are to seek His help at the throne of His favor, as it says in Hebrews 4:16. In temple worship, only the high priest could enter the holiest place, but that is not true for the Messianic believer. There is a change of perspective in the Brit Kadashah, the New Testament portion. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, lives in us, so we each have direct access to God. Also, we should be ever mindful to help the poor, and if we damage anything, we should make restitution. It has always been understood that the eye for an eye in this portion did not mean a literal eye for an eye, but that restitution should be made to others we have harmed. The counting of the Omer at this time before Shavuot perhaps reminds us of the anticipation of God's provision as Israel was harvesting their food at this time. He not only provides for us physically but gave us the law on Shavuot, Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit on Shavuot. Noah celebrated Shavuot for God saving him from the flood. The Torah repeats itself a lot. Repetition is often used for emphasis in the Bible. We should always want more of God and be willing listeners and doers. There is a difference between Greek education and Jewish studies. The Greeks learned to improve themselves, but the ancient believers in God learned so they could be dedicated to God. It is not a division of focus, as some say. Our focus should be on living right and following God, on being dedicated to God. The Haftorah for Amor is Ezekiel 44:15-31. The Kohanim, who are the descendants of Zadok who took care of God's house when Israel went astray, are to perform the service of the sanctuary. They are to wear linen, nothing that will make them sweat. They are to trim their hair, marry a virgin or the widow of a Kohen, priest, teach the people what is clean or unclean, and judge the people. They are to keep God's Shabbats and festivals holy and not come in contact with a dead person unless they are a close relative. They belong to God, they are to live off the offerings, and they are not to eat anything that dies naturally or is torn to death. This Haftorah portion reiterates some of the commands for the Kohanim given in Leviticus. They were to teach the people God's commands. God is to be their inheritance. We as believers in Messiah have literally inherited God through the Holy Spirit and have the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, living in us. Rabbi Shaul, Paul, says that the Ruach HaKodesh is proof of our inheritance in Ephesians 1:13-14. Of course, we must be faithful and live like a true child of God. If we disown God and do not live like a child of God, He will disown us. 2 Timothy 2:12 NKJV says, "If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us." This is our section on the commandments, implied commandments, permissions, and other concepts. We can also understand commandments are being implied from other scriptures in the Bible. There are other possible concepts than what is shared here. A Kohen is only permitted to be ritually unclean for the death of close relatives. This also teaches us that we are to mourn for the dead. Leviticus 21:1-3. The conditions for a Kohen for marriage. Leviticus 21:7. Those who serve in the temple are to be consecrated. Leviticus 21:8. The high priest is commanded to not enter a dwelling of a dead person. Leviticus 21:11. The high priest can only marry a virgin and not a widow. Leviticus 21:13 14. A Kohen who has some disfiguration cannot serve at the temple. Leviticus 21:17 21. A Kohen with a temporary blemish is to serve or enter the temple. Leviticus 21:21, 23. A Kohen who is unclean cannot serve or participate at the temple. Leviticus 22:2 9. A non-Kohen is to eat of the holy things for the Kohen. Leviticus 22:10. A priest's daughter who married a non-Kohen cannot eat of the holy things. Leviticus 22:12. They were not to mix regular food with the holy food. Leviticus 22:15. Blemished offerings are not accepted, only non-blemished offerings are acceptable. Leviticus 22:20-22, 24-25. They could not offer an animal and its young on the same day. Leviticus 22:18. Offering should be at least 8 days old. Leviticus 22:27. Yehovah's name is not to be profaned. According to Strong's dictionary, it means wounded. We are not to cause injury to God's name. The context refers to saying something negative about God. Some say we cannot say God's true name. If you respect someone, you use their name properly and with respect. You would not call someone you respect the name as some do. So, by never saying God's true name, they wound God's name. Leviticus 22:32. God's feasts, Leviticus 23:1-2 NKJV. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. God's Sabbath, Leviticus 23:2 NKJV. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. The Feast of Passover and Unleavened Bread, Leviticus 23:4-8 NKJV. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation, you shall do no customary work on it. But you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation, you shall do no customary work on it. The Feast of First Fruits, Leviticus 23:9 to 14 NKJV. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, When you come into the land which I give to you, and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer on that day, when you wave the sheaf, a male lamb of the first year, without blemish, as a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord, for a sweet aroma, and its drink offering shall be of wine, 1/4 of a hin. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. The Feast of Shavuot, Leviticus 23:15 to 21 NKJV. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwellings 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour, they shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs of the first year, without blemish, 1 young bull, and 2 rams. They shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord, with their grain offering and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering, and 2 male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering. The priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord, with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. Leave the corners of your field for the poor and stranger and do not glean your harvest. Leviticus 23:22 NKJV. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger, I am the Lord your God. The Feast of Yom Teruah, Rosh Hashanah, Leviticus 23:23-25. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the 7th month, on the 1st day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. Yom Kippur, Leviticus 23:26-32 NKJV. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Also the 10th day of this 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, you shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. And any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls, on the 9th day of the month at evening, from evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. The Feast of Sukkot and the 8th day, Leviticus 23:33-44. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the 1st day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it. These are the feasts of the Lord which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering and a grain offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything on its day besides the Sabbaths of the Lord, besides your gifts, besides all your vows, and besides all your freewill offerings which you give to the Lord. Also on the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days, on the 1st day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the 8th day a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the 1st day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So Moses declared to the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. This concludes our teaching for today.